and security that public health faces. And we heard, actually, if you were this morning at the introductory session and the keynote address, we heard how significant privacy and security are for public health and public health informatics and in this new world of health information exchanges and electronic health records. And there's been a lot of work, or some work done, to try to identify and try to begin working on some of these priority issues. We'll talk more about those, actually, later this afternoon as well, expand on those issues. Our focus this morning is going to be then on a tool that the consortium, the Public Health Data Standards Consortium, has put together over the last year and a half to assist public health professionals identify and address privacy issues when dealing with collection, use, and disclosure of health information, both in terms of them disclosing data as well as collecting information from providers and other sources for, you know, fulfilling their respective responsibilities within the agencies. And to talk about the tool, we have our speaker, Vicky Horner, who will be walking us through the tool and walking through some of the examples of the use of the tool. This tool, by the way, as we'll point out, is available from the Public Health Data Standards Consortium. Is available for free. There's no charge, of course, and it's accessible via the web. And we'll point out some of those sites and references throughout the talk. So let me introduce Vicky, and then we'll go into the presentation. Vicky works with Fox Systems. I've known Vicky for many years, and she's an expert in the HIPAA arena, particularly the HIPAA applicability to government agencies. She's been engaged since the very beginning on HIPAA privacy issues, and have done a lot of work with agencies, helping them in the early days of HIPAA understand the HIPAA and regulations and how they apply to their agencies, and then working with them in trying to define their role, define their status, if you will, with respect to HIPAA, and how then they needed to proceed. She is, as is pointed out in her resume, she's a subject matter expert in HIPAA legislation and its impact on government agencies. She has developed and conducted HIPAA workshops and training programs, and is a frequent speaker on how HIPAA applies to public and private sector groups. She is a senior consultant for Fox Systems, and has also worked over 14 years of experience in public health data and systems experience that include working with the Washington State Department of Health as a project, as a HIPAA project manager. She was one of the co-authors of the PRISM tool, and works with the consortium as a chair, one of the co-chairs of the Privacy, Security, and Data Exchange Committee, which is the committee that oversees the work that the consortium does on public, on privacy and security. So with that, I'm going to start with some introductory slides about the consortium and tell you a little bit about the consortium, and then introduce to you the tool, and then I'll turn it to Vicky. So if we can go to the next slide. The consortium is a national, independent, voluntary membership-based, nonprofit, confederated organization, all those characteristics. It really is you know, if we think of the Nationwide Health Information Network as a network of networks, this is a consortium, is a association of associations, if you will, an organization that brings together most of the private, most of the public health related and government related professional and otherwise state and federal organizations, including ASHTO, NACHO, many of the organizations that probably you are a part of, as well as federal, state, and local agencies, and national and local professional associations, public and private sector organizations, We have also university representative vendors and others. And our focus is on public health data and data standards, and really bringing the voice of public health into the data standards arena, and bringing the data standards perspective into the public health field. We started back in 1998 and were officially established as an independent organization in 2003. And as I point out, our mission is really to bring a common voice from public health to the national health information standardization effort. We participate as a representative of public health in many of the national activities, including AHIC, including the Nationwide Health Information Network, HISPI, the Health Information Technology Standards Panel, HISPIC, the Health Information Security and Privacy Collaborative, and CCHIT, the Community, Certification Commission on Health Information Technology. Members also participate in standard development organizations such as HL7, X12, IHE, the Integrating the Healthcare Enterprise Group, and several others. We as I mentioned, focus primarily on data standards for public health. We also focus on privacy and security for public health, and working along the lines of the standards around privacy and security applicable to public health. We work in public health informatics education. One of our core missions is to, besides participation and representation, is really education, is promoting and educating and offering education type services and initiatives to the public health professionals. There's our website, and we are certainly welcoming anyone. How many of you are members of the consortium or know about the consortium? Any of you knew about the consortium before? Some of you knew about it. Great. So you're certainly very much invited to join and participate in the activities. The Privacy, Security, and Data Exchange Committee, which is shared or co-chaired by Vicky and by David, actually, is one of the standing committees of the consortium, and focuses on the areas of privacy and security, addressing individual and organizational privacy and security issues that apply to or affect the sharing of health information with the public sector, including public health and public health programs, as well as health services research. Some of the committee activities represent public health and the public sector in national privacy and security activities, educate and communicate with public sector health agencies, and provide products, tools, and information to assist with public sector privacy and security. And this is one of the tools that the committee has organized. Let me go into some of these, and then I'll turn it to Vicky. What is PRISM? Okay.
And then go into the first part, I think, is like a couple pages in is the bigger picture.
The bigger picture, yeah. PRISM is a tool that was developed a year and a half ago, but it has expanded actually into some additional elements, and now we call it really a family of tools, a PRISM, a family of tools that assist privacy and security officers in public health and in the public sector. So it was created to help public sector health programs understand and apply state and federal laws to their activities. And the reason we call it PRISM, the reason we identify it as a PRISM is really because as the optical instrument, the tool itself helps look at privacy from very different angles, from the various different angles and perspectives that public health and government agencies play, whether they are government agency, a regulator, or whether they are a provider or a payer or some other roles that they play. It is an electronic web-based family of tools, and it functions primarily as a series of tables, and certainly as we go through it, you will see the structure itself that allows people to point specifically what information they are looking based on the needs you know, what specific privacy issues and concerns they have with respect to a particular type of data within a particular type of public health program. Next slide. We put together PRISM as a way to really address some of the major confusions and still ongoing challenges that public sector government agencies have been facing with respect to how privacy applies to them. So what we did was identify and define a baseline condition, set of conditions and requirements that any government agency would have and would have to follow when using and disclosing health information, and then organize some of the key privacy requirements related to use and disclosure into the tables that provide some direction on how they apply and how, you know, privacy policies, procedures, and compliance can be achieved. Why was PRISM developed? So I think I should probably turn it to you now. Yeah, so I'm gonna turn it to Vicky and she will go inside into the tool itself. There's some more slides about some of the background of the family of tools, but I think you can copy them. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you. If any of you had to deal with HIPAA privacy regulations and got totally confused, right? And understand that none of the privacy guidance that's been developed to date deals at all with the public sector. This was what we wanted to take on because we had, both Walter and I have had long histories in dealing with privacy and with states, and people were just, you know, completely at wit's end, didn't have any place to turn, didn't know how to interpret and integrate some of these into their work. And so we were able to finally get some support to develop something that would give people some direction and how to take it from there. If you've worked with HIPAA much at all, and HIPAA of course is only one of the pieces that have to come into play, obviously every state has a number of its own privacy laws that has to also be taken into consideration. But if you've worked with HIPAA at all, you know the answer is always it depends, right? So there is no single answer to any of the questions, and it's always very frustrating in trying to dig through all the issues because a lot of times people are not fully aware of all the privacy laws, even within your own state. And public health wears many hats. Public health can be a payer, public health can be a provider, and public health does have its public health authority role. So it has a lot of complexities that in one unit or program or agency, you may have all those different roles. And when you have people and sections that actually are playing all those roles at once, applying the rules becomes very, very complicated. So that was one of the reasons we really wanted to tackle this, because we saw the frustration out there and really the need for people to have some information and direction, which the feds were not providing. And so since the HIPAA requirements are very focused on payer and provider activities and also kind of looking at them in isolation, we wanted to find a way to deal with not just those two, but others such as the public health authority role and where those roles might become combined. So that kind of addressed this a little bit anyway already, but we also tried to make it in the way we set it up, because we have it organized by the three main functions, which is if you're performing a payer function, if you're performing a provider function, or if you're performing a public health authority function, anybody can use those payer and provider tables. So it doesn't have to be public health, although we did try to organize things toward public sector health agencies, not just public health as traditional public health is known, but we found that many public sector entities are in the same boat. There still has been no privacy guidance around how to deal with things in public programs. So we really try to orient this more to help public sector health programs. So this might include your social services, this might include behavioral health, it might include some other things, other programs that have a health component, but have also suffered from a lack of guidance. So just to let you know, this is not so much specific that it's just public health, although the public health authority role is specific to public health. So Malta already talked about how this was developed. It was developed under the consortium and then with oversight of the public, the Privacy, Security, and now Data Exchange. I didn't fix that one. We changed our name not too long ago, Data Exchange Committee, funded by the National Center for Health Statistics and DHHS Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation. And we think as we go through, people have seen the value of these. We're being able to leverage with some other projects to be able to dig further into these kinds of issues and roles and augment these tools. So we're really looking forward to be able to bring more, hopefully more clarity and more assistance to these topics as we go along. So Walter and I were the key developers of the tool with some help from Joy Pritz, who's a senior poly analyst and HIPAA privacy expert at Georgetown. If anybody's familiar with privacy at all, Joy's like big name. She's involved in a lot of the things with AHIC and ONC and all those activities at the federal level. She's got great credentials in this arena. So, and Walter and I pound out the hard stuff, all the detail work. So, but as we went through the process, we certainly saw the need for additional things that we could bring to the table that would provide assistance, or sometimes PRISM itself, that when people looked at the tool, it would be a springboard for some additional questions or requests for resources. So from that, we've been able to obtain some more funding to develop things a little bit further. First thing that we have developed and is up and running, which we've been talking about and we'll show you today, is what we call PRISM for Government Agencies, which really talks about handling disclosures from an agency under a variety of purposes and for actually some very specific types of data, because sometimes people don't really understand the applicability until you actually apply it to a specific situation. So we tried to make it situational enough so that you could actually look at, I'm trying to disclose this kind of information for this purpose, and you can go there. You can find the, not the answer, but the direction for that, what things you should consider, and what HIPAA has to say, what other federal laws might apply, and where you should look to state laws also for some additional direction. The second piece is that was under development, or two pieces that are under development right now, is the PRISM for Public Health Authorities, which is talking about disclosures to public health. If you've been in public health, you also realize when HIPAA went into play, a lot of people didn't want to disclose information to you anymore, right? So this is trying to address that particular misconception, is that HIPAA now said you individually have the ability to not disclose. That's not true, but also to lend some clarity and some support for you if you go back out and say, no, you really still have to disclose this information. It's not negotiable. So we're providing that additional wrinkle to help you out if you have people who are still reluctant to disclose, although I think a lot of that was early stages and more some of that's ironed out more by now. The other piece that we're working on related to PRISM is what Walter likes to call PRISM Lite, where we're going to try to summarize that, because what we've built in these other two tables are pretty extensive. I mean, the tables go on and on and on and on. There's quite a few tables when you talk about specific kinds of information and specific uses and specific disclosures and purposes. So this is going to try to summarize it, because a lot of the core is pretty much the same, but when you read HIPAA rules, if you're not familiar with that stuff, it's very convoluted. But when you come down to the bottom line, many of the directions are very similar, with just a few caveats here and there. So we're going to summarize that, so if you have enough information or understand the things well enough, you can just go to this summary piece and get the information without having to go to the specific type of information and specific purpose. So this first piece, which we already have complete, well, we're revising it a little bit now. It's very extensive tables, and so Walter and I are doing a little bit of a cleanup on it this time around, just to make sure everything's in place, make sure there's no changes that have to happen since we initially put it into place, and just try to make sure things are synchronized a little bit better, because we did have quite a lot to go through and kind of learned as we went about how to lay this out in the most usable way. So this one, again, as we talked about, was focusing on disclosures from government agencies. Government agencies, the biggest thing you have to learn is, which hat am I wearing? So when you perform multiple things or do multiple functions, if you, you know, pay for certain programs, but you also provide some things directly, you know, some services directly, as well as have your public health authority role, it's the first thing has to do is, what hat am I wearing? And then under that hat, what rules apply? So we split the tables up into three tables by those roles. So your first question will always be, when you're looking at a disclosure, is, what hat am I wearing? Which role am I playing? And then you would go to that table to help find the specific direction for that situation that you're dealing with. Within each role, the tables are structured by the type of disclosure or the purpose of disclosure and by certain types of information. Some of the information is kind of generic, so we have some generic things if you don't need a specific one, such as like entire medical record or, you know, information on protecting health information on minors, and we have some bigger sections, but then it's also down to some specifics such as vital statistics, you know, if we're dealing with immunizations, if we're dealing with HIV data, how do, you know, those specific types of information are also dealt with individually here. The new one that's under development for disclosures to public health, we should have all that stuff and running by the end of this year, I'm hoping, and I'll have it on our website. Our website's being redeveloped, so Walter was nice enough to plug in our new screenshots, and all that should be up and running and make things a whole lot more simpler to find and easier to go through. But this table is going to be structured in a similar way, except that we only have one role. We're just looking at the public health authority role and when people must disclose to public health authorities for certain purposes. So basically it's focused on three main things that apply in the public health authority arena, and that's when required by law. So there's always, that's the catch-all one. Whenever you have something required by law, then people must disclose. There's a public health purpose, and there's also a health oversight purpose, which often public health incorporates some aspects of that. I know I worked for the state of Washington, the public health department included the licensure department. Anybody else have that? Licensure, disciplinary actions, any kind of thing. So sometimes there's a health oversight component, or you're also, you know, you're doing the investigations of restaurants, doing, you know, infectious disease control, all those things has an oversight component as well. So those are the three main purposes that are tackled here. But again, it drills down to the individual type of information to let you know that in most cases, this information still must be disclosed to public health and is not up for negotiation by the people who are doing the disclosing. All right. The prison light, again, the summary that we're going to try to do is we're going to actually summarize both of those tables to come up with just like a real concise mechanism for by purpose rather than by type of information. So we're going to summarize by purpose and by role, I believe, are the two. And so there'll just be a little box that'll tell you in general this is the rules that apply under HIPAA and any other federal regulations that are out there. But with everything, you also must take your own state laws into consideration. And so the state law ones becomes the wrinkle where we can't answer that question directly, although in the future we're going to try to tackle that a little bit. Obviously, looking at all 50 state laws is quite a comprehensive and daunting, especially for two of us, operation. But we are looking at, in the future, trying to be able to look at maybe a few select types of laws or a few select states to dig into a little bit more detail to try to give people more direction on how you would look into your state laws. I know a lot of times it's difficult to get your legal counsel, having been there, to pay attention when you have a question. They're often, you know, overloaded and working on other things. And so sometimes it's helpful if you have some information that will help guide you in the right direction to be able to help respond and answer your question for yourself or with some other assistance of people who might be a little more available. So again, we'll summarize first, and however, I think we already have that kind of draft form. Summarize first the existing table, which is the entire PRISM for government agencies, and then we will move on to summarize the public health component, the disclosures to public health component as well. Those are also going to be presented in a matrix format. Are we going to have them clickable too, or are you going to look it up as a table? We're going to probably do it clickable. The one we have now, I'll show you, we're going to have a click on. You actually just find the kind of the cell you want, and you just click on it, and you get that answer only. You don't have to scroll through the tables, and it looks like we're going to try. We haven't decided exactly how we're going to display all those, but we'll probably try to make those clickable too. So you just look at, I need this disclosure under this role, click, and you get your answer, and you don't have to wade through everything else. But they will be linked back to the source tables, those great big ones that we're talking about that we've already built on the back end. So if you want to dig into it in more detail, the summary ones are going to be fairly short and concise. The tables where we've built it up by purpose and by type of information, sometimes they get a little bit complicated in there. We've built in, especially when other federal laws apply, or there's a lot of ifs, ands, buts. So, you know, some of the examples, particularly like mental health and substance abuse information, where there's some caveats in HIPAA, or there's other federal law that has some restrictions on it, or school health records, some things like that. Those got a little bit more extensive. So we've tried to dig into some detail, not overwhelming, but enough to give you an idea of what needs to be looked at and some of the things that have to be resolved. Because again, even at the federal law, the feds have not either, also have not addressed how to deal with conflicting federal laws. And in some places, we have some issues with that that have not really talked about, you know, when you have this law and this law applies, what's the bottom line? And so there's still some missing information that would be really helpful. And again, we don't try to answer all those questions, but we do bring up the issues so you can either engage your legal counselor or, you know, make your best judgment about that so that you can know at least you're aware that those exist and that there are some considerations that need to be made before you come up with your bottom line. Okay. So this is kind of the general way that it's all hooked together, and this is kind of a representation of hooking together within the website as well. So we'll have, there's a homepage where you can go to that'll start out with PRISM, and then all the other pieces will be underneath it. And we'll go through that a little bit today to show you how it's there. We also have a set of resource materials and glossaries that will be out there. Some of it's already out there now, but we'll probably have to redo on that too before we finish. All right, so the current tool that's out there right now that deals with the disclosures from government agencies, we basically used HIPAA as a way to set the framework because that was the most comprehensive and overarching as a federal law that we have. It has lots of differentiation and some different guidelines about it. So we used HIPAA as more or less as the framework, but tried to incorporate as many other federal laws that had broad applicability as we could. So the two core ones really are 42 CFR Part 2, which is for substance abuse information, substance abuse programs, and FERPA, which is the Family Education Privacy Rights Act, where it applies to school records and school health information, which sometimes comes into play in public health arena. So we wanted to make sure those were incorporated there. It references common provisions in state law. So Walter and I have seen enough state laws to know that there are certain laws that are common among states. So many states have additional protections for HIV, AIDS information, for example. So we do try to reference that or say, you know, your state law may have, you know, some specifications for an authorization or for consent that are different than what's in HIPAA. And in some ways, some places HIPAA will override that. In other places, your state law must also be applied to them, to your disclosures. So we just wanted to make sure at least you have that information all there to look into before you make your disclosure. And again, this focuses on disclosures of health information done by public programs, public health, public sector health programs. So we try to be generic enough so it wasn't so public health specific, because it has more applicability, not only for that, but also in public health. Sometimes, depending on where you're placed in your agency, you may be working in concert with other programs that are not strictly public health. And so these may come up in your interactions with that as well, or just even in your organizational structure. So we wanted to make sure that was comprehensive enough to be valuable and useful for you. Okay, so we also included other laws or requirements that may have an impact. Primarily, that's state law. So again, we try to interject whenever we were recognizing that state laws often do this. Or, you know, there are some states we know have a law that addresses this particular aspect of privacy. So do look at your state law, make sure you don't have one, or if you do have one, that you follow that. And then it provides initial information how the requirement may be interpreted or applied in public programs. Because again, under HIPAA, there were some issues about terminology used in HIPAA didn't match up, not just with public health, but with any of the health entities in the health industry. And so there was a lot of confusion about that. So we tried to address that to some extent. And like, here's kind of what it means. Here's how you would look at it. Here's how you would use that information. So just trying to give you some framework to address your scenario in that perspective. So again, we already talked about PRISM as being structured by the three public sector health-related functions, which is the public health authority, the provider, and the payer roles. So if you're playing any of those roles or a combination of those roles, this should provide you some direction. And then again, we focused on disclosures of certain types of, it should be identifiable information, but you may choose to use this for any type of information when you disclose it. So the tables are organized by disclosure purpose, and these are some of the disclosure categories, which is treatment, payment, and healthcare operations. If you've been in HIPAA, that TPO rolls off the tongue. Required by law, which certainly encompasses public health and health oversight, although those two also have their own purpose sections within HIPAA law. Others, judicial administrative proceedings, law enforcement, there's many others out there, but we did include them all, and including some that aren't even in there because we recognized there were some issues in sharing across government agencies one of the issues with government agencies that public or private sector entities don't have is that you're often have independent agencies, but you have centralized certain functions, such as your payment and accounting, sometimes your legal offices and things like that. And you do have to do the sharing back and forth. But often the agencies sort of are considered independent entities, and so we also tried to address things like that, which are not governed directly under HIPAA. But we wanted to make sure you recognize, because you're organized differently, how you then relate to those other organizational entities that provide your kind of common administrative support. So after the disclosure purpose, we also have listings of various types of information, which we've already referred to a bit. So you might look at section for medical records, you might look at some kind of release for a school health or HIV. There's a separate section for minors, because minors also have created a lot of issues around that. Just the bottom line, just know that your state law governs how minors are treated, but obviously sometimes if you've ever looked at your state law, minors can be different from law to law. Their age can be different, and you know, what they can do can be different from law to law. So you do have to be cognizant of that and take that into consideration when you talk about dealing with information about minors. And again, we have a separate table addressing who can control uses and disclosures and under what conditions. So again, a lot of this hinges on the minor issue, is when can parents take control? When can somebody, a guardian, or in other cases where somebody might have the, healthcare power of attorney or things like that, who can control and speak for the individual. So if there does need to be authorization or involvement by the individual, this is to provide some guidance on that, and who is able to do that, who's able to play that role. Excuse me? Could be advanced will, but a lot of it's healthcare power attorney is not for, you know, so it's, It has all those capacities, but sometimes when they talk about authorizations, is somebody actually signing off for one? There's even some rights to that after the person has died, is that they're supposed to be the person who, again, had that executorship, who would be able to authorize for that individual. But those would certainly come under that as well, certainly. So anyway, Each of those disclosures and then information types is contained in what we call a cell, because we have many, many, many. And what we've tried to include it is a core set of information. We include the HIPAA citation. We include whether under HIPAA the disclosure is required versus permitted. There's very little that is required under HIPAA, but some requirements do come under that required by law. So once it's required by law, there's no negotiable issue around people disclosing for that purpose. And then information related to the disclosure, such as conditions, special requirements, you know, general guidelines about how that disclosure would occur. Other HIPAA requirements of the disclosure might be whether consent or authorization is required, whether minimum necessary applies, and then if an accounting of disclosure is required. So if HIPAA applies to that disclosure, and we'll also mention in there whether or not it does or should or might, you know, so again, it's some of that situational. Then these might come into play if HIPAA does apply it to your situation. If it doesn't apply, then you would look to your state law to figure out what requirements have to be met to do the disclosure. And again, additional general state law issues and requirements may apply. Okay, so we're finally getting to the front page of our brand new front page. I like it, don't you?
Yeah.
It's much, much cleaner than what we had before, much more interesting. So this is the Public Health Data Standards Consortium homepage, is it actually up and running?
It is up.
Okay, good. Because I remember asking, and I said it was pretty soon, though. So this should be up and running. When you come into the consortium, this is what you will see. And we have a variety, as Walter mentioned earlier, of different activities that you could easily become involved in. I just wanted to mention really quickly is, while we are a member-based organization, you do not have to be a member to participate on our committees. We really, really want people to be involved, because it's difficult to get public health to the table, and it's difficult to get coordination, and we're trying very hard to play that role, but we really need your help to be able to communicate both directions, both up to the standards organizations and back down to public health entities, so that people are aware of what's going on and that we do need to be at the table in order to make sure that the standards and things that do come up are workable for public health. And if we don't have a voice, then that may not occur, and so we want to make sure that that happens. So as you'll see at the bottom of this slide is the the consortium's website address, as well as the PRISM webpage, which is just another step in. Actually, if you look at the top, you'll see a section that has our work groups across the top, and you'll see privacy and security right about smack in the middle of the page. And that one, if you click on it, will have the PRISM tool underneath it. All right, so here we are. We're going to talk a little bit more about the tool itself. When you click in that privacy and security, which it's lit up there on the top, you will get an introductory block of information. We actually have it set up so that you have to step through this information to use the tool, because if you aren't clear about what the tool is telling you, you may easily misinterpret it, as we know. And if you've struggled with privacy issues, there's so much going on. We really want to lay the groundwork for you before you dive into the table and try to look for the answers. So this sets the stage for what you're going to see, what it does tell you, what it does not tell you, and how to use it. So we have another page that talks about using the tables itself, and we're going to go through that with you today and step through the different tables. So again, we talk about what's in the tables, how they're organized, and what they can and can't tell you. Again, we have a little bit more instructions for using PRISM, since there's just the way to step through the tables. And you'll see at the very bottom that you start to see the tables themselves listed. So each table is listed independently in there, and you'll when you look at the tables, you'll see that each table usually addresses like 3 to 4 different purposes. So you'll need to scan down the tables if you know what your purpose of your disclosure is to find the appropriate table. First one, though, will be looking at whether you're acting as a payer, a provider, or in your public health authority hat. And there are separate tables for each of those, and then within those sections, there are about 10 to 12 tables within each of those sections as well. So if you look in here, this is the public health authority table. You'll see at the very top, although I wish that yellow was a little more readable, isn't it? I've talked to him about that. And each of those will also have an introduction, because some of the things that also needs to be very well understood is what that role means under HIPAA. We set these roles as HIPAA defines them. So under public health authority, one of the things we wanted to make sure is people understood the definition of public health in HIPAA. Public health in HIPAA is very narrow compared to what public health agencies and authorities do, because they're looking very much at kind of like the surveillance and intervention investigation components. They do not look at those broader span of public health when it's acting as payer providers. So we want to make really sure when people look at this table, they understand that public health authority role is very subscribed. And if you want to look at yourself when you are acting as a payer or provider, you need to go to the other tables. So again, this upfront part is very important, so you make sure you're going to the right table to answer your question. See underneath here that this is the list of the many tables, and I know you can see this wonderfully well, but they do have, like I said, 3 or 4 different disclosure purposes, so you will need to read down until you find them. And again, these are set up according to the HIPAA disclosure purposes, because it's the most specific law we had. We use that as our framework, like I said, but it's not the only thing we've took into consideration here. So you'll scan down until you find a table that addresses your particular issue. So this one has to do with we're just looking at releasing some generally individually identifiable health information. This is what you'll see. When you click on a table, you'll open it up and you'll get a series of boxes and file folders. And you'll just run down here and you'll see that we're looking at, okay, I'm releasing treatment information and or releasing it for treatment purposes, and it's an employment record. We did this because it's an easy one, even though it's not one we would normally do, probably, although you might do that for your staff when you are hiring or doing something like that. So then this is what would open up for you. The reason we use this one is it's short. We can get it on one page. Some of the others go on and on. So you'll see at the top, it gives you the purpose. It gives you the type of data disclosed. And then underneath it says, here's the federal citation. By and large, that's the HIPAA citation. And it actually goes to specific citation. So if you need to reference back to that, to the actual language, you can do that. The applicability of, does HIPAA apply here? Well, in the employment record situation, HIPAA does not apply. That's actually one of the areas that's been excluded. So it talks about that exclusion. And then the HIPAA provisions applicable to covered entities. Right here, it's none because it's not, HIPAA doesn't apply to it. A minimum necessary, accounting of disclosures, and special state issues. Those are our various categories that we try to address here. Questions about the organization? There? We'll go into some more specific and more applicable roles here. So we want to step through a couple examples just to show you how this would work. So say, for example, your program functions as a provider, and I want to disclose information on children's immunizations for public health purposes. So this might be you, or this might be somebody disclosing to you. So first you would click on the access, the healthcare provider table, because you're acting in a provider role. Are you able to hook into it?
Yep.
Nope. Hey, all right. And then you would go to table four, which is disclosures required by law and public health. So there's public health immunizations, usually falls under public health, or maybe a specific immunization law. So we are going to that table, which covers public health. Then you look along the top for the public health activities column, and then because you're disclosing immunization information that's on a minor, you would look at the unemancipated minors information down the side and click to open. And then within there you would find that the cell gives says that if you're performing public health activities as a provider, that disclosure is allowed without consent or authorization under HIPAA. So it's a treatment disclosure, not a big deal. State laws define and control legal issues related to minors, but public health activities are normally not affected by these laws. Public health doesn't necessarily differentiate, you know, whether disclosing on it. Now, if you're disclosing this information as a provider and you're disclosing it, oops, never mind, I was going somewhere else. I don't know where my brain went for a moment, but forget that. So we went to example number two, which is a little more complicated, but probably a little more typical of what you might see in your organization. So my program functions as a provider and a public health authority, and I need to disclose HIV/AIDS information for treatment purposes. So you would click first on the provider table and access that particular table. And then you would go to table two, which has the disclosures for treatment, payment, and healthcare operations, to look at what it says about disclosing HIV information for treatment purposes as a provider. So we have a specific row down there that actually speaks to the STD/AIDS. And so you would click on that and see what that says. Then you would also go to the acting as a public health authority table and repeat the process. So again, to treatment, payment, healthcare operations. Same thing, look for STD/AIDS role and click on the cell to open, because then you could look at both of those cells to get your answer. So if you're performing treatment activities as a provider, that disclosure is allowed without consent or authorization under HIPAA. So again, you have to know your hat. Which hat am I working at? However, HIV information is often subject to stricter state protection, so you really need to look at your state laws before you start going here, because some of the state laws are extremely restrictive on HIV information. Should not be too restrictive on treatment, but even in that sense, there's sometimes some restrictions. So you do want to make sure you understand that, or if it requires a consent or authorization from the individual before you can release it. If the entity is performing treatment activities as a public health authority, then that disclosure is not subject to HIPAA requirements. But this is the tricky part sometimes, is that under public health, sometimes we assume that many of our activities are governed under public health authority. It may or may not be. So if you are doing those treatment activities, they must be clearly identifiable as public health activities defined by law to qualify, because sometimes they're not under that. So if your law is under public health and it has all this, you're going to be doing HIV treatment as part of a broader public health activity, or providing, you know, the various drugs and things that also might fall under treatment. Make sure it's part of your public health authority and not an independent one. That really is what makes the difference. So some of it is also knowing your public health authority law and which things fall under that and which may not. Sometimes public things fall under public health by just the, you know, convenience or because it makes sense for it to be there, but it may not actually be under your public health authority law. So it's just one of those things to consider. Within this, we also have access and provided some resources and some a glossary to try to help you through some of the terms. So One of the fun things about HIPAA, as I mentioned earlier, is it uses terms in new ways that people have used in the industry for a long time, but they make it mean something different. So we did try to address that a little bit differently, such as consent. Consent, you know, consent for treatment's been pretty understandable, but sometimes consent has been used for what they now call an authorization, that you have consent to release, so somebody has to sign off and you actually get that release. So we tried to address some of that in this glossary a little bit about where there may be some confusion in terms and understanding exactly what it means. So under HIPAA, they tried to make consent mean a very specific thing, but in the industry, it's meant a couple of things. And so what they tried to do is try to clarify and separate out the terms, which is where the authorization came from, is to make sure that it was clear that the authorization is where you need a specific sign-off from an individual versus the consent for treatment, which is independent of that. So this is just to help guide you through that. There's the resource section. We have a series of links. We probably need to double-check that all stuff again, too. These change all the time, but we tried to give you the government resources as well as state resources where we could find them available. We really look for your feedback because we want to make this tool better, but it's only going to be better if you provide us input on what works and what doesn't work about it. We get down in the weeds pretty much when we put this together, so we do try to see if we can't hear back from people about, does this help answer your questions? Does it give you a little more clarity about what you needed to look into? Was it useful? Those are the things we really need to know. Or what are we missing? You know, some things we know are missing, of course, are the state law piece, which is massive. So if somebody has lots of money, we'll do the state law piece. A lot of money and a lot of time, right? So we would love to be able to do that, but that's a huge undertaking if you're really trying to look at 50 states and all their privacy laws and try to come up with some bottom line. That would be years of work. And that would mean more to us, too. So really, that's our best guideline about what we can do to make continue to improve this tool. What things can we add? What other questions do you have maybe that are outside of the bounds of that? Because I'm with you. I've struggled with this for years. Walter and I have both been advocating this for years because I worked in a state government and I saw people being frustrated. I said, they need help. They need help. There's things that they need in the government. You know, the federal government's not providing it. How can we get some information to people? So if there's other things we can do, we certainly would love to hear from you, and we'll do our best to see if we can't get some funding to be able to provide those services and that information. Here's the feedback form. If you get a chance to use it, please provide us feedback. You know, tell us, works great, this sucks, you know, we need XYZ and I couldn't find it, you know, or this part was really confusing. And hopefully that will help us to improve it in the future. Do you want to pick up on this, Walter, again, since this is some more of the stuff that you were working with?
Thanks. Thanks so much, Vicki. Yes, as I think we mentioned at the introductory slides, besides this product, the consortium is working on a couple of other activities and projects. We mentioned PRISM Lite, the shorter, simplified version of these tables, as well as a tool that describes disclosures to public health rather than disclosures from public health, which is what we have currently in the PRISM tool. But in addition to those two, the consortium working on two other projects. One is focusing on interoperable public health information exchanges. And this is really a project looking at the review of the findings from the Health Information Security and Privacy Collaboration, HISPIC, the project funded by ARC and ONC and implemented by RTI, Research Triangle International. Contracting with 34 states that went inside the state, each state, and look at the privacy regulations and look at some of the variations in how the laws are implemented and the practices and procedures that organizations have to implement those laws and how those variations result in barriers to health information exchange, and then coming up with solutions and implementation plans for addressing those barriers. That project is already on its third phase, the HISPIC, as we call it, the Health Information Security and Privacy Collaborative. And there's a wealth of information. What we did was we took the reports and looked specifically to the public health issues. This state assessments were comprehensive, and they didn't exclusively focus on public health. They were looking at all sorts of variations in practices in privacy related to the exchange of health information. So for treatment, payment, operations, research, everything, what we did was look exclusively at what states were saying were some of the variations in privacy practices around public health. And we went into creating an analysis of that, sort of a more focused and narrow aspect of the project, but again, specific applicability to public health. And so we're finishing those reports, and those will be available as well on the consortium website later this fall. And then the last project is focusing on best practices in public health, privacy, and security. And what we're doing here is we're going and basically talking to privacy officers, public health privacy officers, on a one-to-one basis, and asking them a series of questions about what are the current issues they face with respect to privacy. What were some of the issues they faced back in the early days of HIPAA? And what are some of the future issues they expect that will begin to come up with respect to privacy? And then try to identify some of the activities they are doing or have done to address those issues and accumulate that information and then begin to, you know, scope out the work for the future years for the consortium and try to create sort of these are the core issues that are, you know, currently being experienced by public health professionals. A preliminary set of findings on this particular project, which we're right now underway, we're in the middle of the data collection process and we have done some interviews with privacy officers. A preliminary set of findings on this area will be presented this afternoon at the second session at 3:30. But many of the issues that are highlighted in those preliminary findings are very much specific to the kind of work that is being done with this particular tool. And the expectation is that we will be able to begin to expand the tool to address those other issues. And coming out of that work, we're also looking, begin to look at the possibility of creating a sort of a resource center, a clearinghouse of privacy-related tools and resources and documents from states and from local public health on how they were able to address basically resolve some of these issues. Documents like memos or letters or assessments of their internal regulations or even policies that they have developed that would help other states as well. And then lastly, we're looking into the future. As Vicky mentioned, one of the goals was really to create a shell for future work in terms of state-specific regulations. And you know, when you look at the multiplicity of elements in these matrices, data elements and data types from SDDAs to communicable disease data to, you know, mental health and other data. And then you begin to lay on top of it 50 different states and 50 different laws that apply to the privacy of that type of information. You begin to create some much larger complexity. And so we're scoping out some work that can begin to be done to try to populate that type of a more extensive matrix and try to begin to extract and elicit some of the core state regulations that affect specific types of health information that public health agencies and government agencies deal with. Because while we know that there are differences certainly across states in how several types of health information are treated when collected or disclosed by public health, we know there's also some commonalities and we're trying to find those and try to extract those and elicit some tools that will help identify them. So that's what we will be doing in the next couple of years, basically the scope of work of the consortium. And here's some more information about the consortium and how to join. So we certainly welcome you all and participation. I'm sorry.
So can we get on? We can maybe tell people if they want to play with it, if we can get on.
Yes, we can. Certainly, we are live on this site here, and let me, the only thing is how we switch this.